Our gospel lesson is found in the book of Matthew, the second chapter, beginning at verse 1. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." The Gospel of the Lord. One of the fun things for me over the past 2+ years that Pastor Duane and I have been here has been hearing the stories of how many of us came to be at Second Reformed Church. Some were born here, and others came later in life. Some were invited by a family member, a friend, or a stranger. And others saw the stones on the building, the sign on the lawn, or the beautiful windows and walked in. Some came because of a crisis of sorts, and others because they were hungry for something more in life. Indeed, each one of us came for different reasons. It's easy then to believe that we come, that our coming has been due to our own choice or our own personal decisions. But I'm a firm believer in the providence of God and how God uses a whole host of things to catch our attention in such a way that we respond and come. We were created to be in communion with God, and worship enables that to happen. When we come, God is able to satisfy our deepest longings, not necessarily with answers or with things, but with God's presence. For ultimately, all of this is because God wants to be known. I think of that in light of our gospel story today, the story of the Magi's coming to Jesus. For what would have caught the attention of these magis who were astrologers from many different backgrounds to come and to give up everything to follow and to come to Jesus? What would have allowed them to notice something that no one else would have seen? What would have compelled them to pack up their riches and go in search of a king they knew not where? A star. A star. A star in the night sky would have done that very thing. To most, this wonder would have been just another star. But to these learned people, they would have understood it to be a sign that something amazing had happened in the world and would have compelled them to drop everything and come. I love the fact that the Gospels came to, the Gentiles came to worship Jesus when he was born, and that their coming was initiated by God, whose gift of salvation is meant for everyone. The Apostle Paul gave voice to it when he wrote the letter to the Ephesians. He spoke about his calling to preach the gospel to the Gentiles so that they would see the riches of Christ for themselves and know that God's grace and promises were made to them as well. In the letter to the Galatians, he says, "There is no Jew or Gentile, no slave or free, no male or female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus and heirs according to the promise." And here at the very beginning of the story of Jesus' birth, we witness God moving in the lives of Gentiles to come and see the newborn king, for they too are invited. The same invitation is expressed as Jesus' arms are stretched out on the cross for the sins of the whole world. Salvation is offered to everyone. The Magi came because they wanted to see the newborn child. But did you know that there's a very big difference between seeing something and being told about it? I remember when I took my oldest nephew, William, who at the time was about 7 years old, to a parade in Manhattan. The crowds were thick, and we didn't get there early enough to be all the way at the front. And so here we are in the midst of all these people, and William, who was not very tall, looked up and he can see the balloons floating above the crowds, but he couldn't see what was happening on the street. And so I began to describe to him what I was seeing. And he turned to me and he says, "Tia," which is Spanish for aunt. He says, "Tia, I want to see everything myself." There's a difference. We are invited to come and know Jesus for ourselves and not simply know about him. To know him for ourselves is to know that he is the Savior who cares for all, especially the least among us. The psalmist gives a good description of the type of king that Jesus is. He cares for those that are poor and acts with justice on their behalf. When called upon, he delivers those in need and advocates for those that have no helper. He has compassion on those that are weak and saves the lives of those in need. To know Jesus, to know him for ourselves, is to know that we are loved and wanted. It is to know that anchor that gives us peace and keeps us grounded even in the midst of storms. It is to have hope, for even in the hard times, we know that we are not alone. It is to hear him call us beloved and to have a home for our heart in him. It is to know that we matter. We matter so much that he willingly died so that we in him might have life and have it abundantly and eternally. The Magi came searching for Jesus because they wanted to see the king for themselves. The Christian mystic and writer Thomas Merton once said, "It is not we who choose to awaken ourselves, but God who chooses to awaken us. We cannot go to heaven to find God. God comes down from heaven and finds us. God wants to be known by us. The birth of Jesus is God coming down to be with us. There is no passivity in God's actions. There is nothing subtle about God's love for the world. God was doing a new thing, and the greatest impact would occur in the hearts and minds of those whose lives would be changed because of Jesus. This is good news. But the gospel is not necessarily good news to everyone. Christ's sovereignty threatens the sovereignty of all other powers, not because his kingdom will have more weapons or soldiers or wealth, but because all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him, who calls us to follow him, not out of fear, but love, and to serve him, not out of coercion, but gratitude. He is the King of all kings, and the Lord of all lords. There is no one else like him. This news threatened King Herod's perceived power and rule, and it scared the people because there is nothing worse than a powerful person that is afraid. But while Herod believed he had the power to thwart even God by calling the Magi and having them agree to tell him where the child was so that he might kill the child himself, God had the last word. And I am so glad about that. I'm glad because as much as we want to have control over everything, in order to make sure that it all turns out just the way we plan, every now and then, there comes a time in all of our lives when we can do nothing more than just stand. Just stand. And trust. Trust that God will have the last word when everything is said and done. After leaving the king, the star reappeared, and the Magi continued to follow it in their quest to see the child. Upon arriving at the home, they were overjoyed when they saw Jesus and Mary. They then bowed down and worshipped him, offering him their praise and honor, and their worship, for he indeed was majestic in glory. Their presence, their worship, their heart were their first gifts that they gave to Jesus. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts worthy of a king, practical gifts, tangible gifts, gifts that Joseph and Mary would be able to use to support and provide for themselves once they had to flee Herod's murderous wrath. Remember, there is nothing more fearful than the powerful being afraid. And so they left, now with the means in which to provide and support themselves, living as refugees in Egypt. But before they did that, the Magi returned home by another route. Yes, God had warned them not to go back to Herod, but they would have been unable to return as they had come, I believe. Because an encounter with the Lord will change you forever. This is the story of God's invitation to the Magi. It's also an invitation that's given to each one of us. May we receive it with joy and respond with open hearts. God wants to be known. May we come, see, and worship the Lord for ourselves. And may our lives be changed forever because of him. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, holy God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the greatest gift that we could ever receive. We thank you for calling our names and moving within our lives and giving us the opportunity and the desire to come and see and worship. And we pray more and more that you will draw us closer to you, that we might behold you not just here in this precious and sacred space, but that we might behold you even in the world in which you love. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.